This morning, as it says in the bulletin, I'm going to be talking about the battle of truth. The battle for truth. This battle is a battle that the world is struggling with to press you into its mold, to get you to think like the world does. The battle for truth. Here's that question. What is truth? That's the question that Pilate asked Jesus. What is truth? Philosophical sort of a question. What is it? Well, I thought to myself, I can't go any further without answering that question for everybody, at least as best as I can. Maybe not to your satisfaction, but as best as I can. What is truth? It comes from a Hebrew word, chemash. And that means stability, certainty, verity, worthiness, right, and sure. That's what truth is. Those five, six, or seven things there. Well, yeah, I can see that's not a very good answer. Well, let's look at what the Bible has to say. Psalm 25, I think we read that already. Verses 4 and 5. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth. Teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day. Lead me in your truth. So the truth has to be something that we can be led in. Something that we can follow. Something that we can live. You see, there is a connection between Yahweh's truth and His ways and His paths. There's a connection there. A connection that we're going to look at a little bit later. But Psalm 86:11. Now, the back of the bulletin is completely blank if you want to jot some of these down. Psalm 86:11 tells us, teach me your way, O Lord. I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. Here's part of that battle for truth. A person's heart can be divided. A little loyalty here and a little loyalty there. When it's convenient, I'll be loyal to whoever I feel it's convenient for. David is asking, I will teach me your way, Lord. I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart so that I fear your name. Take away this divided loyalty that I have. Unite my heart so that you are the thing. You are the one that I fear. Again, in Psalm 119, verses 30 and 31, I have chosen the way of truth. Your judgments I have laid before me. I cling to your testimonies. O Lord, do not put me to shame. And here comes that idea of shame again. Trusting in the way of truth, choosing that way, and not being ashamed. God isn't going to let that happen. So a united heart is essential to this. We must be sure and determined. If we're going to choose the way of truth, we've got to be determined. So that we can say that this is our choice too, that I have chosen the way of truth. Ashamed, as if we were trusting in something that wasn't trustworthy. But I guess this still doesn't give a good answer to the question of what truth is. Let's try something else. Let's look at a couple of different verses. Psalm 119, 142. Your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness. Your law is truth. Here's a definition. David is telling God here, your law is truth. But that isn't all. There's more. In verse 151, he says, you are near, O Lord, and all your commandments are truth. The law and the commandments are truth. And he also said, your law is truth. These things are what truth is consists of. But still, there's another verse. This verse may have been one of the first ones on your mind. John 17:17. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Jesus believed this to be correct. I think we can believe it to be correct as well. David knew the truth. It was the law of Yahweh. It was the commandments of Yahweh. And Jesus combined them in your word is truth. So, Yahweh's word is truth. Scripture is what we're talking about here. What it contains is truth. All of the promises and condemnations. Salvation and destruction. All of it. The good parts and the bad parts. The parts we like and the parts we don't like. I talked with an individual many years ago, and he says, oh, I don't like reading the Bible. Why is that? I said, the Bible's a good thing to read. Why don't you like to read the Bible? He said, because it keeps hammering me. Every time I read it, it just keeps condemning me. And I thought, well, there's truth in it, you know. Maybe we better take this to heart. Well, Ephesians 1:13, over the next few months, you may be getting a lot of Ephesians since we're studying it on Wednesday night. But Ephesians 1:13 tells us, adds this to our definition. In Him, you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, which is the gospel of your salvation. The gospel is truth. You can depend your life on the gospel. It is the truth. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 14. Before I get there. Those who know the truth are going to live the truth. That truth that we find in God's Word is going to be their boundary. Ephesians 6:14 says, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. That's what's going to hold you in, the truth. God's truth. So, yeah, well, that's great, preacher. Appreciate you saying all of that, but where's the battle? I can see that on your face. Where's the battle? Well, maybe you know this, but all people don't love the Scriptures like we do. The truth is under attack. Man's reason will bring about truth, they tell us. Man's reason will become a new religion. I got the article. It's an editorial. When I say this, Charlie, don't throw anything at me. But it's from the LA Times. And part of that editorial says that in recent years, scientists specializing in the mind have begun to unravel religion's DNA. They have produced robust theories backed by empirical evidence, including imaging studies of the brain at work. They support the conclusion that it was humans who created and not the other way around. You don't think there's a battle for truth? There is. Well, listen, I want you to look at this. If it's up there. This is from that same editorial. It is conceivable that St. Paul's dramatic conversion on the road to Damascus was, in reality, a seizure caused by temporal lobe epilepsy. And I'm thinking to myself, where do they come up with this stuff? Well, it looks like epilepsy to me. They can't, certainly couldn't do any examination of his body, for sure. They come up with this idea. You don't think there's a battle for truth? Well, it gets worse. We can be better. See which way they're pointing us? Where we're at, they're pointing us on a higher road. We can be better as a species if we recognize religion as a man-made construct. We owe it to ourselves to at least consider the real roots of religious belief so we can deal with life as it is, taking advantage of perhaps our great mind's greatest adaptation, our ability to use reason. Well, I've got something else up here I want you to read. It was written a long time ago by a man who they say suffered from temporal lobe epilepsy. God forgive him. Romans 1:18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, or hold down the truth by their unrighteousness. Now, this first chapter of Romans, Paul does give a pretty lengthy discourse on how man has corrupted things. But let's go on. 19 and 20. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Verse 21. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. That's a testimony to the reason of men. It's futile. Doesn't go anywhere. Didn't produce anything. They became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. They couldn't see the light. Jesus said, men love the darkness. Why? Because their deeds are evil, and the light reveals what they're doing, so men would rather stay out of the light. He goes on in verses 22 and 23. Professing to be wise, They became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things, professing themselves to be wise, yet functioning as fools, worshiping the creature and his reasoning power above the Creator. It's a risky place to be standing, ask me. A little shaky ground. Herein lies the battle for all of us. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. The coming of the lawless one, the Antichrist, is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and all unrighteousness, deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth that they should be saved. You catch that at the end? Because they did not receive a love of the truth that they might be saved. The truth isn't something you're going to stumble upon one day and say, oh, this is the greatest discovery man has ever made. No. You're going to have to look in the Word of God and search for it, find it. It's got to be something that you do out of a love for it. It's not just going to come to you one morning after a good night's rest that, oh, now I understand everything. It's not going to happen that way. Romans 2:5 tells us, but in accordance with your hardness and impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. The hardness of your heart causing you to save up for wrath in the day of judgment. And then verse 6, who will render to each one according to his deed. Talking about God here. And verse 7, eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. But those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, look forward to indignation and wrath. Two groups, two sides. And I'll tell you this from here, you trust in the truth, you will not be ashamed when this day comes. You'll be standing on the right side of God at that time. So what's God's desire? God just already got us set up for destruction or for immortality? Well, here I think is Yahweh's desire. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. A knowledge of the truth. That's what God desires. He doesn't want to have to destroy anybody. He will, but he doesn't want to. And here is his desire for each of us. If we acknowledge the truth, we walk in the truth, here's his desire for us in 2 Timothy 2, 25 and 26. And the servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth and that they can come to their senses. I love that part. That's the man with that temporal lobe epilepsy. He wrote that. that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. Here's the weapon for us. Preach the word. Preach the word. Be ready in season, out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. Preach the word. Stick with the scriptures. Don't add it just because Hollywood added it. Just because it's an old, old fairy tale, stick with the word. Preach the truth. Let God's word come out in your conversations. People will know then that you're a person of the truth. Be persistent, but gentle. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. Now, a teacher doesn't just put out information. A teacher wants to make sure that information is getting absorbed by the students. You see, so we're not just out pointing a finger and hollering at people. You're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong. That's not truth, that's not truth. We're helping them to learn. That's what a teacher does. So with all long suffering, putting up with a lot, and teaching. Why? Well, look here at verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Because they don't like the truth. It's sad, but some will turn away. Some will. Some people that you care for, an individual that you know, may turn away from the truth. It is sad, but there's some encouragement for us. In James 5, 19 and 20, brethren, talking to you, brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. This is the substance for our commitment to the truth. Some people will turn away. Some people will not want to hear it. But if somebody does wander from the truth and anybody turns them back to that way of truth, he's going to turn a sinner from the error of his ways and a soul from death. That's encouragement. That's a reason to keep going. There's a choice about this battle for truth. The choice is up to each of us. Back to the Psalms again. Psalm 119, verses 29 and 30. Remove from me the way of lying, and grant me your law graciously. I have chosen the way of truth. Your judgments I have laid before me. I have chosen the way of truth. The choice is yours. Nobody can make this choice for you. The battle is raging. Psalm 119, verse 43. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in your ordinances. In our conversations, we've talked about that. Speak the word. David says, don't let it be taken completely out of my mouth. He wanted to speak the truth as well. for I have hoped in your ordinances. So just to close up here, here's some encouragement. I want to encourage you today by Proverbs 23:23. Buy the truth and do not sell it. Also, wisdom and instruction and understanding. How valuable to you is the truth? Jesus had a couple of parables. One of the man who had found a treasure hidden in a piece of ground. But what he did was he gave up everything else he had so that he could buy that ground and own that treasure. He told another parable about a man who found a pearl of extreme value. What did this man do? He was sitting at a crossroad just like you are now. And he made the decision that having that pearl was worth everything else, more than everything else I have. So he sold all of his possessions so he could buy that pearl. How valuable is the truth to you? Proverbs 23:23 said, gives us the direction, encouragement to buy the truth, and don't ever let loose of it. And while you're at it, get wisdom and instruction and understanding too. Because that's going to make your truth that much more beneficial.